Your Bible? If you have your Bible with you, it's good to have your Bible. It's always good as you open the Bible to the fly leaf in the front. To the very front. Is there a place for your name? Some Bibles, there's no place. It's the strangest thing. There's no place for your name. You ever done that? You ever seen that? A Bible like that? There's no place to put your name. This Bible belongs to so-and-so. Write your name in there. I can't write in my Bible. No. Write your name. You should be able to write on every page of your Bible. Susie, you remember that? I can tell. Yeah, just look at it. Susie just was horrified when I first said that 20, 35 years ago. I put my Bible down on the ground and stood on the Word. Oh, she was horrified. She thought God, lightning was going to strike me down. First of all, I was writing in the Bible. Second of all, I was standing on the Bible.
Then he threw it in the back of my truck.
I did?
No, Bible. He threw it in the back of my truck, and I just freaked out.
Oh, my goodness.
I was like, oh, my God, David, you cannot treat the Bible.
The Bible is, if you can't use it, throw it away. Amen. If you can't use it, just throw it. It's just another book. You got to be able to use your Bible. Your Bible is important, isn't it?
Yeah.
Amen. It's not a relic.
Nope.
I mean, it's not like a nail from the hand of Jesus. Right? Amen. It's only, your Bible could be just printed last week, Roger. Could have been printed last week. I mean, it's not like an ancient relic. In fact, it only started being printed about 500 years ago in that particular form. Amen. So it's a tool, isn't it? It's a tool that God uses to get you to the gospel. He's exalted His Word above His name. How weird is that? You think the Word, well, that sounds like the Word's really important, and here we are standing on it and writing in it. The Word of God is exalted above the name. Why? Because the Word of God reveals His name, doesn't it? The Word of God reveals His name. So we thank God for the Word, but you got to be able to use the Word. We use the Word. The Word is always is in us and through us and causing us to rejoice and to see the power of God, to see the joy of the Lord. He's always speaking to us. He's always speaking to us. His Word, through His Word and through His Spirit, He's always speaking to us. Amen. So did you write your name in your Bible, by the way? I want to say that because we find, you know, over the years you find Bibles in the house and just sitting, somebody left them here and you open it up, going to find out who it goes to, and nope. Then you're trying to figure out whose handwriting it is. Trying to take it around and ask people who this belongs to. Whose notes, then we're reading your notes, and whose notes do these sound like? What kind of trouble is this person in, and you're kind of a detective trying to figure out who it is by what the notes are. So write your name in your Bible, and that'd be helpful. Now we're going to get back to our Psalm, Psalm 119, talking about the Word of God. Boy, this is a long song. It just goes on and on and on. But it reveals to us characteristics about God. And characteristics about His Word. When somebody's talking to you, you listen to their word. You listen to what they say. You listen to how they say it. You listen to what they're talking about. It reveals to you. When Larry talks about rejoicing in the middle of trouble, you want to listen to that and find out, well, why in the world would he say that? And what clue can I have from what kind of trouble that he might have? Is it similar to my trouble? Or is his trouble just ain't no way? Yeah, he's just a troublemaker anyway, so no wonder he's in trouble. No, but your troubles, God reveals his answers for. God reveals his love to you. Amen? That's why we go through that. This is why I'm going through this psalm. I'm going through the psalm just because God told me to. And no matter how I feel about, wow, this thing just seems to be going on and on and on, you know, he said, finish it. He said, finish it. Finish it. I don't know anybody else who's ever done it. So, you know, we'll just finish it. But what it does, it reveals in every sentence, reveals a new aspect of the Word of God. It refers all over the Scripture to something else that God has already spoken about. Huh? So David knew that. David is writing this thing, but he's also got the Scriptures on the inside of him. He's got scribes and prophets who are speaking into his life as the king. So this guy, here's the king of Israel writing this psalm, testifying of the power of the Word of God. So let's look at it. I just want to encourage you that, you know, this is not fruitless. It's fruitful. And I'm encouraging myself, you know, because we continue to go through. But I just want you to know that it's important for us to do that. You know, I mean, it's like, in some ways, it's almost like the begats. You know, you're reading, you're doing your Bible reading, you go, dear Lord, why do we have to read this? Why did He put that in there? Why is that important enough to put that in there? He put it in there so you would know exactly what you needed to know when reading the Scripture. Amen? God spoke to the prophet, and He said, holy men of old wrote as they were revealed, received revelation from the Lord. Amen? So, let's ask. Father, we thank You today for revelation from the Spirit with respect to everything that we will read. And we just give You thanks, Lord, because You are faithful to speak to our hearts and to transform us and change us into Your image. Thank You for the revelation. Thank You for the Word of God, which has survived these thousands and hundreds of years and come to us in such a technologically superior age with respect to accessibility, more so than ever before. And Father, we thank You that the Word of God still is the Word of God, speaking to our hearts, no longer being copied by hand, but being digitally disseminated throughout the world. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Thank You, Lord God. The Word of God is making hearts new. And we just give You thanks and praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm number 119, verse 137. The letter at the top, the Hebrew letter, is Tzadi. Everybody say that. Tzadi. Like T-S and then A-D-D-I. So, Tzadi. All right? Now, verse 137 says, righteous are You, O Lord, and upright are Your judgments. So, He is righteous. He in His person, the Lord in His person, is holy. He's righteous. He is without fault and without blame. Righteous are You, O Lord. So David is declaring that to the Lord personally. He's beginning his worship. He's declaring his worship of the Lord and his own and the Lord's righteousness. He's declaring that. Righteous are You, O Lord, and upright are Your judgments. So He in His person is holy and righteous, but His judgments are upright and perfect. His judgments are exactly straight and exactly perfect. So the judgments of God, so no matter what you may think about the Scripture, the judgments of God are perfect. The judgments of God are right. There is nothing that He has done that is not absolutely perfect judgment. Everything is judged according to His judgments. Everything is judged according to His righteousness. So there is people have the desire to know what is right and what is wrong. God Himself, the Creator of the universe, He is the Creator. He has made the judgment. He, therefore, is the author of all things. And He has made that judgment. And I am His creature. I am His son. He has adopted me. But I have His spirit, but I have a fleshly mind and brain that still is struggling to hear the Lord on a regular basis. So His righteousness, His judgments are pure. So for me to say anything else, or say, well, I just, you know, wish He wouldn't have done it that way, it's really rather, you know, not helpful. It doesn't help me. It doesn't help you. What it does is kind of makes things last a little longer. Makes troubles last a little longer. Makes your troubled mind troubled longer. It's more important for me to agree with God. Amen? It's more of important for me to agree with God. One place in the scripture says, agree with your adversary quickly while he is in the way. Well, I'll tell you what, I mean, God, you, between God's mind and your mind, he's your adversary. I'd agree with him. I'd agree with him quickly to resolve the circumstance. You know, in our government, you know, we have all kinds of things that don't get resolved very quickly because people don't tend to agree with their adversaries. They tend to argue with them. In the case of you and God, just agree with him. Now, whether or not you understand what he's specifically trying to get you to do, just start out your prayer with, Lord, I agree. Your righteousness is beyond me. Upright is everything that you have said. Teach me your ways. That's what this psalm, the whole fullness of the psalm is talking about, is teach me your righteous judgments through your word. Amen? That's it. Teach me your righteous judgments. For Psalm 19, not 119, but Psalm 19, verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. So his judgments are true and righteous altogether. So that's the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And the fear of the Lord and how you receive his judgments is through the fear of the Lord. That is, he's right and I'm not. Amen. Praise the Lord. So he's right and I'm not. And I'm not afraid of him being right and thinking that I'm wrong. How many think you're right sometimes? Let's go ahead and just get back to the scripture. And fear of the Lord is, he's right, I'm not. You know, if your children learned that early on, you would have been really excited about having righteous children. Because they would have, oh, yes, yes, Father. You know, remember Jim talked about lining all the kids up, you know, at the house, you know. I never was able to pull this off, but I guess he could. So he lined them all up, you know, and had them sitting straight on the pew, you know. Okay, don't move. Not one of you move. Now, the only one that moved was Margaret. You know, I don't know how that worked out, Dave. But she was depending on the love of God. She was depending on the love of the Father. But no, fear the Lord. Father, I want to fear you. I want to fear you. What that means is I want to be able to hear you so clearly that I can just move according to what you say. Because I know what you say is going to bring to pass excellence in my life and my relationship with the Lord. All right? So the fear of the Lord. What's the fear of the Lord? Oh my gosh. The fear of the Lord is not fear of the Lord is, you know, like a Halloween monster. The fear of the Lord is this guy's right. This guy's good. He loves me. He's on my side. I'm going to listen really closely and I'm going to follow. And I want him to work in me that which is well-pleasing in his sight. That's the fear of the Lord. Because you know that when you hear him, you're going to be joyful. You're going to be satisfied. Even though it looks like you may not be. So many times it looks like you're not going to be satisfied if we do the will of God rather than our own will. Amen? Now I'm not talking about just your long-term outward thinking about God. We all know that God is good, God is righteous, and if we do what he says, everything will be okay. It's that emotional twist that says, I don't want to do that. Anybody there? Yeah. That thing that says, I want to hope he's not looking because I'm just not going there right now. I want that second bowl of Cheerios or whatever it might be that you after, you know. Did I say that? Did that come out of my mouth? Psalm 39, verse 5, last half of the verse, B. Verily, every man at his best state, at his best state, is altogether vanity, nothing. So your judgments are pretty much nothing. His judgments are pretty much everything. Amen. So let's look at it that way. Let's agree with that. You know, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. So what you want to do is have a look at your own, look at yourself in that mirror that is not foggy anymore. And know that I'm free from my own vanity because of his mercy. I'm free from my own vanity. In other words, the things that I would have chosen to do, Lord, I thank you that that's, I don't believe in that anymore. Amen. And that's going to take some time, I guarantee you. That's going to take some time. But every morning we get up and we say these things. Lord, thank you that your judgments are true. And every thought of mine is vanity and vain. You know, because I have this sinful bent in my head. This sinful bent in my flesh. But God is moving mightily to transform me and change me. Do you have confidence in that? Do have confidence in that. Because he indwells you by the Holy Spirit. He's indwelling you, and he's making you transform from one degree of glory to the next, from glory to glory, from faith to faith. He's transforming you. Look at verse 138, Psalm 119, verse 138. Your testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. So his testimonies are righteous because he's righteous. His testimonies, those things which he reports, those things which he speaks about and shows us in his word, his testimonies. His testimony also refers, again, as we've talked about in the length of this study, is testimonies are also referring to the word of God. His testimonies, the things that he speaks of, the things that he says, the things that he says about anything. Any word of God about any subject or every situation is completely righteous, right on, and perfectly stated. Your testimonies that you have commanded are righteous and very faithful. They do not miss the mark at all. They're very faithful. They're faithful to His promise. They're faithful to you, and they're faithful to me. Psalm 89:1 says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. And with my mouth, I will make known thy faithfulness to all generations. So what do I do? So he is very faithful. So what do? I make known his faithfulness. I'm making known his, David is saying, I'm making known his faithfulness. So I'm going to make known your faithfulness to all generations. Well, all generations, that is everybody I come across, whether they're young or old. Excuse me. It's getting warm up here. Anybody? All right. Psalm 89, verse 33. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. That's so cool. He's never going to suffer his faithfulness will not fail. He will not allow his faithfulness to fail. Isn't that great? I will not suffer my faithfulness to fail. His faithfulness will always remain faithful. His faithfulness will always remain steadfast. And I will not lose a thing. There's not a time I cannot trust him to be true to his word. Amen? Now, what does that mean? Is that no matter what my circumstance is, I can always count on God to be on my side, to be on my behalf. Not what I think is on my behalf, but to make sure that everything is happening on my behalf. Everything is going my way. His desire is to take care of me, to bless me. So everything that he does, his desire is to bless me and to care for me and to love me and to follow and to cause me to have peace and joy unspeakable. That's it. That's his joy for me. Amen? And then that produces in me a declaration to the world. That produces in me a declaration to the world that this is someone who loves Jesus and who cares not about his own meeting his own needs or having to have something that's getting in the way of loving you, getting in the way of loving somebody else. My needs are completely supplied. Amen. And that's you talking. Mine are. Praise the Lord. Amen. There were times when I had to say that when it wasn't true, when it didn't look like that from the outside. Amen? Said, all my needs are supplied. All my needs are supplied. They are. Not because I have resources, because God's my resource. Because he's faithful. All right? So thy love, and nevertheless, God says, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, from you, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. Okay, next verse, 34. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. So he's not going to alter his covenant. He's faithful. He's very faithful, this verse 138 said. So he's very faithful. So I just want to encourage you that God is very faithful. Amen? I can testify of it, but I want you to hear it from his word. I want you to fear his word. I want his word to be bigger than anybody else's word. I want God's word in you to be more powerful and more awe-inspiring and shaking you up. That the fear of God, which causes me to know his will, is and to not depart from it. That's what you need. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. That's one of his faithfulnesses. One of his faithfulnesses is that you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, faithful is he who called you, who also will do it. What is that? That it's on the tail end of where he says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, quench not the spirit, rejoice in all kinds of tribulations, love one another. And then at the end he says, by the way, faithful is he who called you to all these things. He will do it. Amen. So the fact is, all the things he called you to do, he'll do. You know, one thing I find in the epistles, that all the letters, you know, Philippians, Colossians, Galatians, Titus and Timothy and all of these things, especially the ones Paul wrote specifically, he writes first of all about who your identity and who you are, what Christ has done, what God has done. He writes about that. Then at the end, which is what most of the lists of things for Christians to do, is from the last two or three chapters in those books, three or four chapters in those books, and it's do this, do this, do this, do this. But what happens is people miss the clue that in order for this, the doing to happen, you have to know what he's done. What he's done precipitates what he's saying, there's the evidence of what I've done. The evidence of what I've done is loving your neighbor. The evidence of love of what I've done is rejoicing evermore, quenching out the spirit. It's not, okay, now that we've had a good sermon, here's my list of things that I want you to do. No, it's because of what I've told you, here's how it looks when it's actually been put on the inside of you. And when I'm living on the inside of you, here's what it looks like. So the testimony is, what it looks like is loving your neighbor. What it looks like is rejoicing evermore. Otherwise, you're not believing God. You're believing you should do something good so that God will like you. That is not the church. Doing something good, making the world better, a better place. By golly, that's why Jesus came. I mean, that's every religion believes that's why Jesus came, is to make the world a better place. Nonsense. It has nothing to do with why Jesus came. Jesus came to redeem you from your sins and to love the world and to transform the world. Why? Through you. That's why you're still here. You may wonder why you were still here. Well, I always wondered what my purpose was, to preach the gospel, to love your neighbor. You got somebody standing next to you? Tell them about Jesus. That's why you're here. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. He's faithful. He will establish you. You won't establish yourself. He'll establish you, and he will keep you from evil. Well, I don't know that doesn't look like. No. I said he was very, to read before, he's very faithful. Now, what you determine to be evil that he's keeping you from, you and he may disagree. That's where fear of God comes in, say, you know what? I'm just going to believe God. I know there is trouble and there is big trouble. But God says, fear him. God is saying, fear me. Trust me. Fear my word. Fear what I say. Make that your trembling. Make that your trembling. Not that God is going to get you, but if I don't heed His promise and His word, I'll get God. Like, don't touch that. God said, don't walk out there in front of that train. But you think that was a good idea, and then you showed up in heaven and a little early, and God asked, why are you here? Well, I thought it was a good idea to blah, blah. Well, guess what? You know, it wasn't such a good idea. You have a lot of good ideas, don't you? You have things you want to protect yourself from. So, you know, it's kind of like, you know how people do, they'll protect themselves from one thing, they'll run away from this and get hit by the car. There's a big bad guy coming down the sidewalk, I'm going to run, bam. Well, and that's what we do. We tend to operate on our own steam. Amen. I don't want to operate on my own steam. I want to hear God. I don't want to react. And how do you do that? You begin to hear God early. You make it your practice to hear Him early. You don't make it your practice to, boy, I hope God watches over me, because I'm liable to do something stupid any day now. No. Continue to meditate on His promise and on His love, and spend time in His presence so you can hear Him. So you can hear Him every day. Amen? So you can hear Him every day. You know you can hear Him every day. Amen. I'm telling you can hear Him every day. You have the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. Or if you like the Holy Spirit better, you can have Him. You can have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. And all you got to do is say, Lord, thank you for the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. And He commands you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. He commands you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So the power of God begins to work and move in and through you in a public setting. Amen?
Amen.
You have a well of water when you're born again. You receive the Lord and His promise, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. But He also says then, there shall be rivers of living water flowing out of all of the innermost part of your belly. The well of water is for you. The river is for somebody else. So He wants to do that for you. He wants to do that in you. He wants to transform you. Titus. Where's Titus? Titus 1, verse 9. This is talking about a bishop or an overseer or a pastor of pastors, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine to convince the gainsayers. Now this is talking specifically about pastors, but it's also talking about you being filled with the Holy Ghost, that you are holding fast the faithful word as you have been taught, that you may be able by sound doctrine to convince those who contradict the truth. Not by arguing with them, but by sharing the love of God. Amen? To convince the gainsayers is not to have an argument. To convince the gainsayer is to prove, or convince those who contradict the Word of God, is to show them their own fault in what's going on and show them how God has delivered them and set them free. It's not about what God is trying to do in your life to straighten you up so that you look better and your pastor looks better, but it's so that you are able to walk in joy, peace, and fullness every day and tell somebody else about it. That's what it's about. That's what this walk is you learning how to walk with God. Okay, verse 139. Psalm 119, verse 139. My zeal has consumed me because my enemies have forgotten me. Forgotten the word, thy words. So my zeal, as one who knows the Lord, my zeal has eaten me up. It's everything that I am, because my enemies have forgotten your words. So this is a man of God, you, talking about how the love of God and the desire, like Paul said, Paul said this, I wish I could be cursed on behalf of my brothers in Israel so that they could know what goodness, what the goodness of God is. That's how much your love is. Your love is the same as Jesus. Oh, well, I don't know, brother. I don't know about that. Jesus had a lot of love. I don't seem to. No, see, you're just looking back at your own. You're just looking at your own notes. You're looking back at your own mirror. You don't realize that the power of God and the love of God, the same love that Jesus had for the world, is yours, is what you have for the world. Amen. Your zeal, the zeal of the Lord of hosts, my zeal has consumed me. My love for the world has consumed me. Not the love of the world, my love for the world. God so loved the same love. That's you. Because my enemies have forgotten your words. The same Psalm, verse 136, at the end of the last section we read last time, says, rivers of water run down my eyes because they keep not your law. I'm devastated. It blows me. It blows me away. Because I know that they're dying. People are dying because they don't know the love of God. So what I want is, Lord, I want you to show me how to share, how to be a testimony, how to be very faithful, how to be a testimony to those who have never heard the gospel of Jesus, who have heard it and don't know how to hear it. Luke 13:34 says, O Jerusalem, Jesus is saying, O Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered thy children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. So Jesus' desire was to gather his own people. Remember, he went up to Nazareth. He couldn't even do any great miracle there because of their unbelief. Oh, it's Jesus. You know Jesus. Yeah, he was Joseph and Mary's kid. You know that couple that we had questions about? Yeah, Jesus. So verse 140. Thy word is very pure. Therefore thy servant loveth it. His word is pure. His word is totally perfect. You know, like we said here in back in verse 137, righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Your word is very pure. Therefore thy servant loveth it. Now let's look at that. Several verses, several scriptures here. Psalm 1 verse 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate both day and night. His delight. So my delight is in the law of the Lord. So I like it, enjoy it. It's my chocolate. Amen. You know, or whatever your thing is. It's the thing that I love. This is the thing that gets me going, is his word. Because his word transforms me and changes me, makes me into his image. So I delight in the law of the Lord. So you can read Psalm 1. Psalm 1 is so powerful. It said, happy is the man who does not walk in the way of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. So he said, his word is pure, and therefore thy servant loves it. Psalm 119, Psalm 19, 8, the second part of it, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Psalm 119, verse 97, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all of the day. Oh, how I love thy law. It's my meditation all of the day. It's because you've got it on the inside. It's not because you got it, you know, in front of your head, you know, or reading it every moment of every day. But it's your meditation. You've already got it. I will hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So I hide his word in my heart. Yes. His word. Now, is it a specific word about this sin or that sin? No. What it is the living God speaking to you and his heart speaking to you. Deep calleth unto deep. Him calling unto you, because you have read, you read Jeremiah chapter, you know, whatever, 17, verse 20 through 26. I don't even know if there's that many verses in that chapter. What I'm saying is, you have read the Word of God, you put it on the inside of you, it's the voice of God. Letting the Word of God, not specifically chapter by chapter, verse by verse, or subject by subject, but allowing the living God to speak to you through His Word. All right? And His Word is dwelling in your heart. It says, let the words of Christ dwell in you richly. So, again, these are not things that are specifically answering a specific question, but it's the Word of God. It's the voice of God speaking to you and causing you to hear His voice and to listen for Him. Because every day you will, by the Spirit, hear what you've heard, say, read in the Scripture. You will begin to learn how to hear by the Spirit what He's already been saying in the Word.
Amen.
You'll begin to hear the voice of God because you've already been hearing Him. You know what He says. You know how His voice begins to sound to you. And you're hearing the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus heard the Father. He said, I only do what I hear my Father say and what I see my Father do. Jesus was filled. He was a man filled with the Word of God. He was a man. His nature was of God, but He was a man born of a woman. And He schooled Himself in the Scripture. He was a young Jewish boy and schooled Himself in the Scripture. He was then baptized with the Holy Ghost. The Word of God came alive. The Word of God comes alive. Amen. The Word of God on the inside of you comes alive. People used, before printing, before the Bible was printed, it was done orally. People, what the bar mitzvahs were, where you learned the Scriptures. You learned what God was saying. So today, how much the more with all the voices that we have? You know, the Scripture says there are many voices in the world. Well, my goodness, that was written 2,000 years ago. There are many voices in the world. None of them was without signification. You know, and just like these loud noises. Well, how much more do we have today? Facebook, Twitter, and everything else, and TV. And we've got so many voices. How about the Word of God? The Word of God. This is a powerful book, this Psalm 119. Very powerful. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. There's a few others of delighting in the Lord. I shall delight, and these are actually all from Psalm 119, the particular ones I'm. Yeah, I pulled up a few and I went, oh my gosh. delighting in the Scripture. That's what we've said, is Psalm 119 talks about the Word of God. And so right here, I mean, I've got 8 additional scriptures throughout the Psalm 119 that specifically talk about delighting yourself in the Word. Well, golly, can't we look somewhere else? Well, why don't we just look at what we've got? I shall delight in your commandments, which I love. This is Psalm 119, verse 47 and 48. I will delight in your commandments, which I love, and I shall lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Verse 97, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all of the day. Verse 113, I hate those who are double-minded, but I love your law. Verse 127, therefore I love your commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Then the verse we just read, 140, your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it. Then verses we'll get to in the coming weeks. Verse 159 says, consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. Verse 163, I hate and despise falsehood, but I love your law. And you may not feel like that's true, but it's true. I hate and despise falsehood, but I love your law. And then verse 167 says, my soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. Look at verse 141. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget thy precepts. Are you a small and despised person? in your own eyes? Maybe in your profession, or maybe in your locality. You have determined that people have assessed you as small and despised. I get you. I feel your pain. I'm small and despised, yet I do not forget thy precepts. How powerful is that? Yet I do not forget your precepts. Yet I do not forget thy precepts. So here's my problem, and here's my answer. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. That doesn't get me off my game. Verse 40, Psalm 40, verse 17, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. How about that? I'm poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks about me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, my God. Don't wait. Hurry on ahead. Come down here. And thank you for it. Isaiah 53:5, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him, and he was despised, and we esteemed him not. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Now, Isaiah 28:10 says this, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Who's he gonna get to understand his doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. Sounds very familiar, doesn't it? Talking about Hebrews. Not milk, but meat. Verse 10, for precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line, here a little, there a little. That's how you learn. Well, I just want to suck this whole thing up in about an hour. No. Line upon line, precept upon precept. I shall not forget his precepts. How do you not forget precepts? Because you're continually meditating upon the promises. Amen? Again, this is not a college class you graduate from. All right? This is not a class you never graduate. You're fellowshipping with your Father. That's what you're doing. Gee, when will I get that degree and be a man of God? Always and never. Always and never. Because He'll use you right where you are. But you're meditating upon His promises day and night. Verse 142, we'll hurry along here. Verse 142, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is truth. Now over in Isaiah chapter 51, verse 6, lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath. For the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment. And they that dwell therein shall die in like manner, but my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Hearken unto me, and ye that know my righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revelings, of their revilings. For the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool, but my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. So his righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. John 17, where Jesus is praying for his disciples, he's praying for them, saying, they are not of the world. Father, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. He's sanctifying you through his word. Thy word is truth. As Jesus, you take to the bank. Psalm 119, verse 143 says, trouble and anguish have taken hold on me. Yet thy commandments are my delight. Again, his commandments are just, though trouble and anguish have taken hold on me. That's your soul. That's your soulish man. That's the one that gets nervous every time there's an earthquake, you know, of some sort. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me. Yet, even so, your commandments are my delight. Psalm 119:16 says, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Verse 77, let your tender mercies come unto me that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Let your tender mercies come to me. Amen. And finally, verse 144 in this section. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding and I will live. It's good to read things slowly because you can read these things so fast and be done with your reading for the day. It's good to slow down. Amen. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. Give me understanding and I hope to do with it as best as I can.
Amen.
Give me understanding and I hope I can do with it what you want me to. No, give me understanding and I will live.
Yes.
I will live. So I have the understanding of God and I live. Amen. I'm not afraid. Nothing gets me. I'm established. David, all of his enemies were coming after him. He says, none of these things moves me. Paul, all the perils, all the troubles that Paul has, he says, none of these things moves me. Amen. So Matthew 5:18 says, for verily I say to you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Don't be nervous. What God said, He's going to perform, and that's what how He said it's going to end is how it's going to end.
Amen.
Oh my goodness! Global warming, that's going to get us. The nukes, they're going to get us. The economy, it's going to get us. No, Jesus is coming, and He's going to get you.
Wow.
He's going to come get you.
Amen.
Amen. John 17:3. This is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This is understanding. This is life eternal. Finally, 1 Peter verse 1, or chapter 1. Because you have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God. What are we studying? The Word of God. And this is the Old Testament. This is David, King David, talking about the Word of God and the value and the power of the Word of God. Being born again, Peter says, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower fades. The flower thereof falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached to you. Father, we just rejoice and thank you for this word of God today. We thank you that your word is righteous, that you are righteous and your testimonies are very faithful. We thank you that you're transforming us daily by the meditation of the Word, not because of our strength or our ability to understand, but according to your Spirit which dwells on the inside of us. So, Father, I thank you right now that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. I thank you that we are men and women of faith who declare the gospel to our generation, because what's on the inside of us just oozes out. somebody sees and hears our joy and says, where'd you get that? So Father, we thank you. I thank you for everybody here who is full of God's love, full of God's word. We love like God loved. We love like Jesus loves. That's who we are. We're not attempting to get there. That's who we are. And we just thank you for causing it to be demonstrated day after day. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. And we rejoice daily and give you praise. We cast all of our burdens and cares, those things of this world, upon you because you care for us. And we thank you that you will continually to fill us daily with the Holy Spirit and cause us to be a testimony to the world in Jesus' name. Amen.